my husband gets that crane in his neck, I know it's my time to come up. It's so wonderful to see all these babies this morning. I know one thing, someone commented about our church having young people in it. And I said, yes, and they keep us elderly ladies and people, rather, on our toes, because these couples have babies, and these babies grow up. In fact, I can remember when some of these babies up here on the platform were like these babies here. And they grow up, and then they get married, and then they have babies. Isn't that awesome? Okay, I'd like the ladies that are helping me this morning to come up, please. Peggy Thomas, Stephanie Thompson, and Jessica Rivest. So, we have Phil and Fiona Demas, if you would stand. They are dedicating Josiah Alec Demas. Isn't that awesome? He is a cutie. Then we have Wendy Johnson and Jason, if they would stand. They are dedicating their little girl, Talia Gian Johnson. Did I butcher that, Jason? And then we have the Brost, Allison and Jason. And they have Rhett Marshall Thomas Brost. So if he doesn't like his first name, he has a choice. And last but not least, we have the family of girls. We have Casey and Peter Sandin. Elena Lily Sandin. Got it. Sister Peggy is going to pin your corsages on. But it's so good to have all of you as the guests with these families. And it's good to have all of you people out there on this Memorial Day weekend. Brother Grant. Bishop.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Sister Grant made mention of these kids growing up. It's just a thrill to look back in some of the old church directories and things where we have pictures and see these little kids. Just look through one, and there was Peter Sandin in it. He was just about not very tall, but I was just thinking, you know, how God has really blessed him and blessed his wife. And she's still not very tall, but just good to see you, and good to have you here. And Anna, good to see you. And Katie, where Katie went. See you. Good to have Grandpa and Grandma Sandin here. And good to have Brother and Sister Putnam here. And Brother and Sister Demas. Yeah. And good to have Tom and Judy Smirka. Lutheran pastor, pastored in McFarland, and then went to Greece as a missionary. And this might interest you, Tom, the Demas has spent a good number of years in Athens as missionaries. Praise God. Just so good to see all of you. You know, Sister Grant and I got some, they were VHS, and Brother John Carpenter made DVDs out of them, and we pulled them out and see our own family. One thing about the kids when they're real small, they develop personalities, and the personality that they develop when they're small, they still have pretty much that same personality. Carl was always jumping out in front of everybody and making faces and acting goofy, and he still kind of does that, you know. And Kyle was always coming to me and very serious. When we built the first building we had, Brother Rutherford was up preaching. And when he started to give the altar call and everybody's standing, he was talking about the rapture. And he said, you know, the trumpet could sound any time. And about the time he said that, Kyle pulled the fire alarm. He doesn't even remember it, do you, Kyle? It just started going. I mean, it takes a while to get it stopped, too. So his mom and dad brought him in the office, and he said, Kyle, you need to talk to your grandpa about this, because this, you disturbed everything. And he was standing there, he's just white as a sheet, you know. Just, I said, what happened? He said, Papa, it was an accident. I said, what do you mean an accident? He said, well, I really didn't do it. I said, you didn't do it. Some people saw you do it. He said, it wasn't me. He said, it was my hand. I said, well, how did that happen? He said, I just went by my hand, just reached over and pulled it. Oh. We had such a good basketball team for a while. We had Craig Rossing and Chris Bowie and some of those real tall guys. And we had a Christian school, so we won almost all the games. But then they all graduated. And so we had short ones. And Kyle was one of the shorter ones at that time, because he was... really should have been on a B team or something, but we didn't have enough. And so when they played, if a team got so many points ahead, they just called the game. Just okay, that's the end of it. So they kept calling the games, and Kyle was wanting to just finish it. I came in one day, and Kyle ran up to me and said, Grandpa, did you hear about our game Friday night? And I said, no, did you win? He says, nope, but we scored a point. Pick it on Kyle this morning. You know? Oh, my. He was playing outfield in softball, and some reason the referee called a timeout or something, gave him a break. It was hot. And he ran in. I said, I just walked up. I said, what's happening? He says, I said, what's the score? He says, oh, it's 33-0. 33-0. I said, are y'all ahead? No. He says, they're 33, we're nothing. And I said, well, don't be discouraged. He said, oh, I'm not discouraged, because we haven't got up to bat yet. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Good to have Kyle here this morning. Kyle. praise God, praise God, praise God. Today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit different from what we usually do in a baby dedication. This also is Memorial Weekend. We have a lot of people up camp working, and some are out on vacation. And got a good number of young people, well, people maybe I should say, cooking down at Brockfast. And then we have the baby dedication. So what I want to do today, I want to talk about responsibility. We got a good number of people that's been in the military. You know, there's one thing about the military. It'll teach you to be responsible. If you don't, it'll kill you. And the way that I choose leaders is a little bit different from what we normally would do. But I want to show you this. And for you people who attend this church, you've seen me do this before. But if I'm choosing leaders, the very first thing that I look for is a person that's responsible. How responsible is the person? Because if the person tells you he's going to do something and doesn't do it, it really does throw a kink in your organization. You're depending on someone and they don't do it. Number two is how loyal. Can't be a team player if you're not loyal. You got to be loyal. If you belong to an evangelistic team and you're not loyal, it affects the whole team. Number three is how truthful. Now, we place a big premium on telling the truth. And you may say, why would you put that third? Well, I have had a good number of people that told me they were going to do something, but when they didn't do it, they just said, no, I didn't do it. They were very truthful. Didn't try to hide or anything. Didn't do it. Just didn't have time. Well, we do want them to be truthful, but I didn't put that first. I think they should be responsible. And then the fourth thing is how competent. In other words, this deals with their ability. Now, you would think that you would choose the person that was the most competent, which has the ability. But I have found that it really doesn't work that way. Because sometimes the person that can sing the best, or preach the best, or whatever, is not very responsible, not very loyal or truthful. Now, the thing about it is, three of these are character traits. And one of them deals with ability. And only. So this is the way that I have chosen leaders, and it's worked out real well for me. You know, the thing about it is, if you leave the front door small, you don't have to have the back door so big. It can be small also. But once you get someone on your team, then you have problems. Now, you may say, why are you teaching us this? Because we are raising young people that will be in charge of this church in time. And if they grow up with the right ideas, if they grow up to be a model Christian, it's when their parents model Christianity. And that's so, so important. So today what I want to do, I want to teach on the subject, help us to live well. Now I turn to Psalm 90, verse 4 through 12. And this is a passage of scripture that I think all of you are familiar with. Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, that carries them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that's told. In other words, someday somebody will walk by your grave and they'll begin to tell the story of your life. Sister Grant and I just looked through something on the, I think it's Facebook, I'm not for sure, had Brother Haney, his grave out in California, kind of told the whole story. Brother Larson was there. Brother James Larson, you know, married Brother Haney's sister. And, you know, I knew Brother Haney. And Brother Haney was a teenager. Brother Haney just got out of Bible school and came to our church in Henderson. I wasn't in the church at the time, but I attended. Our pastor wanted me to take care of him, so we went down to a lake out in the country and went swimming. You don't have to tell his family this, but we were skinny dipping. So, Brother Haney and I talked about that, but I never did say anything about it publicly. He was our superintendent, you know. But now, there's his grave. And while I didn't know him when he was a child, I feel like, after hearing everybody talk about it, that I knew his mom and dad and also knew him when he was a child. And someday, someone's going to walk by my grave if I don't go up in the rapture. Or maybe I should rephrase that, if the rapture doesn't take place before. Oh my. I didn't know if you caught the way I said that. You got it, didn't you? Yeah. Oh my. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. To teach us to number our days, that phrase actually means help us to live well. Help us to live well. My, what a challenge it is to do things right. And I've made so many mistakes. I guess we started our Christian school probably 30 years ago. I'm not for sure just how long, but I think around 30 years ago. Brother and Sister Rutherford, my sister and brother-in-law, moved from Clinton, Oklahoma. helped us get it started, actually. And Brother Rutherford was our first principal. But he and I went down to Louisville, Texas. You're probably familiar with Plano. You hear a lot about Plano. It's right next door to Plano. We went down there and we went through to school for training. And what they were basically doing is just trying to bring awareness as to what we should expect out of students and such using their curriculum. But Brother Rutherford and I, one day we went, after a real touching day, we went to bed, and then we started talking. And Brother Rutherford can really talk. He's got a bed, I've got a bed, but we both sat on the edge of the bed then because we kept talking. He wouldn't let me go to sleep, so. But we both came to the realization that we're starting a lot later in parenting than what we should. We should have known what we're being taught now when our kids were young. And the thing about it, the people that suffered were both the parents and the child or the children. And it was so simple what they were teaching. At that time, Dr. Dobson was just getting started with his radio program, and several books were being written. But the way I grew up was that you do this because I tell you to do it, and you don't ask why. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time that you tell your child that. But I am saying that probably is not the best answer always to give them. The reason why is because they're learning. And sometimes, even though their attitude may not be the best, they really want to know what's going on. And my son Roy is not here. Of course, we lost our youngest son, Steve, in the year 2000. But John's here. And I think I can just publicly say this. John, I really wasn't the best dad. I could have done a lot better. And if I had it to do all over again, I would. But you know, the thing about it is, we can't go back and overdo it. And do it over, rather. But I still have my son John, and I could be a better dad now. And I think that is so important. Now Jesus gave us a scripture that followed a parable. The scripture happens to be the summary of what he was saying, and that is in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 48. And let me read this. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now Jesus gave a parable about a man that was left in charge of the vineyard. And when his Lord did not come back as he thought he was going to come back, that he kind of sat down and let things slide. And then all of a sudden, someone came and said, you know, the Lord's coming back. And the man says, oh my. And he was frustrated, and he began to beat the servants. He didn't have a plan to get that vineyard cleaned up. He just jumped in and started beating them. What happened was, when the Lord came back and saw, the Lord said, "Now, wait a minute. You've been beating. You could have come up with a plan, but you waited too late." So, Jesus then gave us this scripture. He said, "To whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required." And I remember years ago, in our Christian school, we taught a lesson. And then I taught a similar lesson several times in church. It's entitled Liberty versus Responsibility. So if we can put that up. Liberty versus responsibility. Now, as you can see, we start out with zero, and at the top is 80. And we use 80 because that's what the scripture says. Now, life expectancy is much increased in the last few years. People are, I don't know if they're eating any better or what, but they're certainly not going hungry. Somebody asked me, said, "Brother Grant, you must be starving." I said, "Look, I didn't grow this big and live this long without being a survivor." But you notice down at the bottom of zero, that's represents the child that's just born. How much responsibility does a child have? None. Absolutely none. How much liberty does he have? Not much. You take him to church, you don't ask him, "You want to go to church?" You just snatch him up. Get him ready and take him. He may be kicking and screaming and everything else, but nevertheless, you take him. Now, next, I think I have 20 there, but let's just go to the toddler years. As a child begins to turn over in the bed and slide out of the bed, and crawl across the floor, reach out and get the knickknacks, it's time for you to start training. If in the event the child crawls over, starts to get something that you don't want him or her to get, what do? You tell them no. And I'll give you a little bit of a hint. If you're telling the child no, don't raise your voice, lower your voice. Lower not just the volume, but take and lower your voice as low as you can go. And you look at the child and you look stern and you don't smile and you say, "No." You know, that works too if you have a little puppy in the house. You know? I was training a bird dog one time. My neighbor came over and said, "John, I can't believe that dog will stay out in the yard while you go in and just sit while you go inside and get a cup of coffee." She said, "How do you do it?" I said, "Karen, one, if you're going to train a dog, you've got to be smarter than a dog. And if you're going to train children, you've got to be smarter than the kids." That's the reason why the Bible says, "If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally." Sometimes you have to pray for wisdom. Sometimes you have to pray that God will give you the right answer But you're going to have some children would just defy even the lowering of the voice. And there's nothing wrong with going over. And when the child's going to get the knick-knack, and you may say, well, just put the knick-knack where the child can't get it. Well, you never would teach him not to touch them if you do that. So, you just pick up your hand and just, no, and just tap him lightly on the back of his hand. Now, that doesn't hurt, but it hurts his feelings. And usually he'll start crying. But you know what? After a while, it's the end of it. We had this little situation with Cole. I think I told this. I'm looking around to see if Lana and Marvin were in the building. Marvin was here earlier. Oh, way in the back. I don't know what Marvin and Lana were doing, but Cole and Abel were eating with us. And Cole was probably 2 years old. And he could say a few words. Could say no. You know, kids learn that. Yes. Are you telling me the truth? Yes. Did you get that cookie? No. But his grandmother did something, and we got to the table, and he didn't like what she did, and he raised his hand, and he hit that table so hard, and he says, no! I said, Cole, don't you ever tell your grandmother no like that again. So, went on a few minutes. You know what he did? And I told him, I said, if you do that, you're going to bed. He picked up his hand again and went down and says, no! Well, I'm on the far end of the table. Man, I shot out of there like a pickled seed. I got back there. I grabbed him up, started out. He started just, oh, Papa. He says, please, I'm sorry. I said, you going to do this again? No. I mean, I've never seen a little guy cry. So he had tears going down his face, running off his chin, everything. And his little lip was already quivering. He couldn't hardly talk. And now, little Ava, she came to his rescue, his big sister. She jumped up. She ran over there and she said, Grandpa, he's just a little kid. He's still learning. But I felt that he'd repented enough. And so I didn't take him all the way to the bedroom. I said I was. And you may say, well, you always do what you say you're going to do. Well, if God didn't change his mind on a few things, we'd all be going to hell. That's the reason why the Bible says, except you repent. In other words, God made an exception to the original law of sin by saying, except you repent. Two or three days later, we were over at their house eating. I was at the table. Cole was at the table. Nobody else was at the table. But he wanted something, and his mother told him no, and he picks up his hand. You're going to hit the table. He picks up his hand. He started going down like this, and he looked at me and smiled, put his little hand down. He's a happy camper. I'm okay without that. But I think you understand what I'm saying is the older you get, the more responsible you have to be, but at the same time, the more liberty is given to you. Now, I'll be 76 on my birthday, and I don't have too many responsibilities anymore, but I think that I'm a pretty responsible person. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it or I correct it. Before, it's too late, and reestablish an appointment or whatever it takes. But at the same time, I sure got a lot of liberty. And I just get in my car and go when I want to go, do what I want to do. But the thing about it is I have to pay the credit cards and all of this. So the older you get, the more responsible you have to be, because the more liberty is given to you. And that's what Jesus was saying. I found this out. If you want to have a great life, you've got to serve the right God. You've got to marry the right person. That's so important. And then you have to have the right vocation. I've known of people who stay on a job for years and hate it. You know, I'm not for moving around on jobs a lot, but I am saying, get a job that pays well and that you like, and you may have to take schooling for it or whatever. Don't mess around all your life with something you hate to do. Make sure when you marry, you give a lot of thought to it. You look at the young man or you look at the young lady and make sure that that person's character is right. If you wouldn't hire someone that's irresponsible, why marry someone? Then, of course, you've got to serve the right God. Oh, my, it's so great to serve the right God. Now, what I want to do, I want to go to Psalm 90, verse 10, and I have some people that I've chosen to help me with this. So if those who have a clipboard with a number on it, if you'd come up front. Okay. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, by reason of strength. That just simply means that some people, because that they have strong. Oh, Brother Putnam's up here. Okay, this building, by the way, this building is exactly 80 feet wide. So we're going to say this represents your lifespan. Now, many people live longer than 80. But I do know this. I look in the paper, especially on Sundays and Wednesdays, because there's so many obituaries in there. And sometimes there's at least 10 people that's younger than me. And I found this out in the Madison area, that people die in alphabetical order. Okay, who has 80? Would you go over all the way to the wall and stand? Who has 0? Go all the way to the wall over here. All right, who has 40? Stand right in front. Okay, who has 20? Okay, you're probably about right there. Okay, who has 60? Okay, who has 70? Now, the reason why I put 70, that's 70. Okay, now then go halfway. Okay, who has 5? You have 5. 7. Okay, go down here, and you'll be going halfway between Kirby. Now, there's no promise given in the scripture that you're going to live to be 80. And some people live to be 90, 95. The Manley left us after 100 years. Now, somewhere along here, most of you are. Now, I've always tried to dream and live up to those dreams, make those dreams come true. Because if you get someplace out here, you're 60, don't you? Get out here around 60, you've been making dreams, but you haven't done anything about it. Then you look back and you just have sad memories. But if you've done something about it, then what have you done? You look back and, wow, all these great memories. But now here's the key to being successful in life. That you must have more dreams than you do memories. Now, if you get out here and you're around 60 and you look back, you say, well, I probably have more years behind me than I have ahead. If you're somewhere around 40, you look back and say, well, if I'm going to do anything for God, I guess I better do it now. Where do you fit on this scale? Now, truthfully, it just seems like yesterday that I came here to Calvary Gospel Church. I was 31 years of age. So I was like right down here. But Sister Grant and I, along with our boys, we had already established three churches. And that was our plan. So we're going to give 10 years to home missions. As soon as we get the churches big enough that they could support a pastor full time, then we're going to leave it and go some other place and do that again. We did it three times in 10 years. And I came here. Now, I was going to be here about 10 years and then go to foreign missions. But after 10 years, I was feeling that this is the will of God for me right now. Now, I'm way down there. Now, I look back. If I didn't dream a lot of dreams and became responsible to see them come to pass, I would have a lot of regrets, don't you think? You think about this. And somewhere on this line, all of you fit. Now, some of you have already gone past that. You're way out in the grace period. I don't mean for this to be funny. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. And you see, if you live your life where there are little or few regrets, you're going to be a great parent. Because your attitude will be right. You may have to search, you may have to pray for some things, but nevertheless, kids are going to walk in your footsteps. Look at Brother and Sister Demas. And today, Phil and Fiona are dedicating their son. Phil is a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church. Joel is a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church, and he has two kids. And then there's Lori, and she was recently here. Her husband is a minister. How many kids do they have? Three. See what I'm talking about? All living for God. Now, there's no guarantee that your child's going to live for God just because you do. But I'll tell you one thing. The opportunity is there for the child to do it. And in all probability, the child will walk in the steps of his mom and dad. And that's what we all want to do. We don't want to get way out there in the end of our life and have it full of regrets. I think I can truthfully say that if this is my last day on the planet Earth, I just don't have many regrets. So if you are willing to dedicate your child to a life of responsibility, a life of loyalty, truthfulness, knowing that your child will become competent to do whatever God calls him to do, I'd like for you to stand with the congregation, and I'd like for you to bring your child up to the altar to be dedicated. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Brother Jason, just come on front. Boom, Fiona. Jason, Wendy, why don't you slide over this way? All right. I'd like to have Brother Hawk stand in front of Jason. And then Brother Mackey, he'll come down. You can stand in front of Jason. And Brother Kryaski, if you would come. Stand in front of Peter, because we want Brother Demas to come and stand in front of his grandson. Now, we'd like for all of you to stand, if you would. And we'd like for the family members to come and stand behind the couples that are here. And if it be your intent to dedicate your child to the Lord, would you put your child in the hands of the minister that's in front of you? Yeah, that happens. Lift up your voice to the Lord as I pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you, God, for the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, for the scripture. Thank you, God, for shedding your blood to save all men. And I pray, God, take these children, Lord. Use them, O God. Put a desire in their heart to serve you, God. I pray in your name. God, here in the presence of all these people, in the presence of the holy angels, and in your presence, Lord, we lift this child up in dedication. I pray in Jesus' name right now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now return the child back to his parents, her parents. Now, lay hands on the couple. Would you do that and pray for them? And you who are behind them, reach out until you make a chain God, we pray, Lord, for these precious people. We're asking, God, that you grant to them wisdom, understanding. God, I pray, move upon them, O Lord. Keep your hand upon these parents, God. Yes, Lord. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. Touch them, O God. Lord, we dedicate these families to you, God. We do. We dedicate these families to you, God. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody lift their hands and worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now you can return to your seats. Normally, we have a minister to take you out in the lobby. But what we're going to do, because we do have a song, we want Allison to come. And then we'll let you go out.
For you. to be